Thank you. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Louise. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the NCSG call on the 11th of June 2013. On the call today, we have Robin Gross, Cintra Suknanen, Wolfgang Kleinwächter, Edward Morris, Klaus Stoll, David Cake, Marie-Laure Lemineur, Mary Wong, and Bill Drake. From staff, we have myself, Nathalie Peregrin. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Robin.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
This is Aubrey. I'm also on the call. I don't think I heard my name.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Aubrey. Is there anyone else?
Nathalie, Maria Farrell have also joined the call.
Great. Great. Thank you very much. Let me quickly just review our agenda this morning. We're going to discuss the NCSG reconsideration request and our response to the Board Governance Committee. We'll the GATT communique on new GTLDs, and then an update on the Accountability and Transparency Review Team, ATRT. Then we can go through our council agenda for Thursday and go through the motions and discussion items and make sure that we've got all of our councilors are prepared to participate or have found for themselves a proxy, an alternate, somebody who will fill in for them. And then we can go over any open comment periods and working groups and time preview discussion for what's coming up with Durban. So that's what we've got on the agenda. And anything else? Is there anything anyone would like to add? All right, not hearing anything. I guess that means no, and we can get started. Can folks hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I was noticing Bill was typing in the chat that he couldn't hear, so I just want to make sure. All right, so the first issue to talk about today is the NCSG reconsideration request and the its rejection by the Board Governance Committee. Basically, the Board Governance Committee wrote a recommendation. I should say the outside legal team wrote a recommendation that basically ends the bottom-up policy development process and says that ICANN staff can unilaterally change policy at its own discretion, irrespective of what the GNSO Council or the community thinks. So it's in violation of the stated bylaws, ICANN's bylaws for how policy is made. It's, certainly isn't bottom-up the way ICANN claims it is. So this decision will... there are a lot of members of the GNSO Council who are upset about this particular decision, even though they don't really care about the underlying issue, the substantive issue, the trademark plus 50 policy that staff and the IPC crafted. Maybe there's a lot of counselors who don't particularly care one way or the other about that policy, but what this decision does, if it stands, is it really kills the bottom-up policy development process. So that's the part that a number of members of the community are concerned about. And so there's a question of how do we respond to this. And I know the GNSO Council will be trying to have a meeting with the Board Governance Committee to discuss the rationale. And I believe Jeff Newman's already put a motion on the table to try to fix some of what he sees as the holes in this policy, if it stands, of allowing the staff to do whatever it wants, irrespective of what the community says. So I think that motion is on the table for Thursday, but we can talk about that particular motion later. we also need to discuss the NCSG response, our specific response. And I think what we should do, and I've mentioned this a couple of times on the list, and I'd really like to get some feedback, is I think we need to request a meeting with the Board Governance Committee so we can discuss the rationale of this opinion, its implications for the bottom-up multi-stakeholder model. Frankly, I doubt many members of this Board Governance Committee have read this opinion. I think it was just kind of rubber-stamped, written by outside legal staff and rubber-stamped for approval, and it's also my understanding that many members of the Board Governance Committee are conflicted off of participating in this, these kinds of decisions because if they got conflicts with new GTLDs, so there's not a whole lot of board members left who can even participate in these kinds of decisions, but have, if a parent will probably just rubber stamp this. So it will be before the board on June 25th at this point, and will probably be rubber stamped then. So at that point, I think we should consider filing for an independent review panel to challenge the decision. This is another part of ICANN's supposed mechanisms for accountability when they get things wrong, to be able to challenge decisions when staff and the board doesn't follow their own bylaws. I've been talking with a couple folks in the community, and it sounds like the biggest drawback or problem with that objective is the cost, because it's a situation in which the loser pays all the costs. So, you know, we have to pay for ICANN's outside legal staff, and you know, I've heard people have said that it could cost $3 to $4 million, and you have to have some of this money up front and before you can even file your claim. And so it doesn't, on some level, the more I look at it, the more I wonder, this is no accountability mechanism whatsoever. You have to be, you know, millionaire to even have this kind of a accountability mechanism to make use of it. But so non-commercial users will never be able to. However, Ed's been doing some research for us, and apparently there are some means of asking the arbitrator to award differently, or perhaps we could ask ICANN to put up our share of the advance fees if we have to put any up, or to waive that. I don't know. There may be some options for that. So I just wanted to kind of lay out those possibilities and open it up for discussion. And I know Ed's been doing a good bit of research, so Ed, if you'd like to add anything or give any more granular detail on what we need to do for this independent review panel, your thoughts on that, I'd really appreciate it.
Thanks, Robin. It's Edward Morris for the record. First of all, thank you for your leadership in this. If you hadn't stepped up and recognized what was going on, this would be a dead issue. So I think we all owe you a great deal of gratitude. We don't have to make a decision on the independent review today. The way I would look at it is we're on a journey to the independent review. That's our destination. And right at the end, just before we get to it, there's a bridge with a toll on it. There's a lot of intermediary steps, a lot of off-ramps, some rest areas that we can play with on the way there to try to give the board an opportunity to back off a little bit. The next step in terms of formal procedure is what's known as the CEP, the Cooperative Engagement Process. What that basically means is we're considering an independent review. Nobody wants to go to an independent review panel. It's costly. It's conflict-ridden. There's only been two in the history of ICANN. What CEP consists of is a two-stage process. Within 15 days after the board decision, is it the 25th or the 27th, Robin?
25th in my notes. Let me double-check that.
Okay. I thought it was the 27th, but whatever day, within 15 days of that decision, basically we or Robin would just have to send an email saying we want a CEP. 3 days after that, ICANN has to appoint a single executive that will deal with the matter. Then 2 days after that, so 5 days from our request, there'll be a phone call or an in-person meeting between that individual and presumably Robin and a few of our other folks to talk about the issues, to see if we can reach some sort of compromise, something they can take back to the board. If that doesn't happen, 7 days from that date, there will be a face-to-face meeting where we try to do it again, and if that's not successful, we frame the issue for a potential independent review. Then we get a little over 2 weeks to decide where to go for the independent review. It's free. It gives us a never bite at the apple. If we do it in conjunction with a few other things, I sort of like our chances to get something out of this process. One of the things I'd suggest going forward with, and I actually talked to Milton last night, or I was corresponding with Milton last night about this, is something called the DIDP. It's a documentary request, and it was placed in my head by a lawyer that Milton actually introduced me to in Beijing. And what we want to do is say, hey, ICON, give us all the information you have, all of your discussions, all of your internal documentation about TM50. Let's figure out how this policy gets placed in effect as an implementation mechanism. But we are also entitled to board DGC minutes, communications from staff to the board, basically everything to do with our reconsideration request in the DGC decision. So if we get that request in immediately, we'll have that data. There's a 30-day time limit in time to evaluate it before we go into the CEP. So I guess what I'm saying right now, that there's a whole bunch of things we can go forward with. I love the idea you have of trying to get a meeting with the BGC. Aubrey has a petition up and running. We have the council efforts. I think what we want to do is just a broad attack, try to raise the salience of the issue, and this is timing perfectly for the Durban meeting. So, for example, if we decide to go forward with the CEP, we request it on the outset, the first day or so of the Durban meeting, we could then circulate your Circle ID article, Robin, revise it a little bit to say, okay, NCSG is going forward with this, with CEP, with a view towards IR. We can make copies of it, throw it in the hotel. We can make this a focal point of the Durban meeting. If we do that, and we're engaged with the board and staff through CEP, I think there's a reasonable chance we might come away with something we may not be happy with, but better than what we have now, without having to go to the toll bridge of the independent review. So that's where I'm at right now.
Hey, thanks very much. Ed, thanks for your research on this and for the initial reconsideration request as well. So it sounds like the CEP step, we would be the next step, and that wouldn't be the costly step. Maybe we could get something very positive out of that decision. I know one of the things that some of the other members of the community that are unhappy with this decision have said is that they just want the board to come back with a different decision, that, you know, they don't really care if the particular trademark plus 50 policy stands, but this decision, the impact that it has for the entire bottom-up model, they just can't let this decision so if stand. So if the Board Governance Committee could be persuaded to not adopt this particular recommendation, then we would have a pretty hand.
Hi, Robin?
Yes.
Okay, it's Ed again. The BGC is gone, so right now everything has to come from the board itself.
So you just said I'm with the Board Governance Committee, that everything that they've, their role is finished? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's gone to the board now. So now the board makes their decision at the next meeting in late June. And that's what we react to. So it would be interesting to talk to the BGC to see why they did what they did, but they're not going to be able to reverse the decision. At least that's how I read the bylaws.
Well, I don't know, though. I mean, I'm not so sure that they couldn't. Is there anything really to prevent them from amending their own recommendation?
No, it's worth a shot. As I said, I think we just fire all cannons and hope we hit something. If that makes sense. I think this is more of a political issue at this point than it is actually a legal and structural issue. If we can raise the salience, get them to understand other parts of our community or the ICON community are interested in this, that it's important to them, they have a number of opportunities to draw it back. But at this stage, procedurally and officially, it's now at the board.
Okay, great.
So do folks think it's worth our time to call for a discussion with the BGC on this rationale? If, I mean, because maybe they could change it. I don't know. Or should we just go straight to the board? Anyone have any thoughts on this, on how to proceed? Maria?
Ed again. I'm sorry. Good, Maria. I just my basic impulse is if they'll meet with us, that'd be great. Can't hurt.
Maria, did you have something on this issue? I don't hear anything. Is there anyone who wanted to get in the queue on this? Any counselors want to speak on this issue since we need to be prepared for Thursday?
Can you hear me?
Hello? I hear a voice.
Was that me? David? I think.
David, yes.
I think the council is very concerned about this one. I think it definitely is a huge political issue. A lot of people that didn't care at all really about the trademark plus 50 issue, probably mildly concerned about a few of the things we said, but not really worried about it. Obviously, I mean, Jen is the most obvious one, incredibly upset about it. So I think the GNSO is definitely going to want to discuss this with everyone we can. I think NCSG themselves will be. We should just get in the queue. Everyone's going to want to talk to the BGC about this. We should too. I think it will be hard to get. I think it'll be easier to get to talk to the BGC than it will be to the whole board. I definitely think the reconsideration,
the DIDP?
Whatever it was. That process, I think we should absolutely start that. I think we're going to get a very political, attempt to handle this as a political problem from ICANN staff, but that's okay. It is a political problem, and we do want them to, we don't want them to handle it just by trying to slickly wriggle out of it. We want to make them realize it's a very real problem that they, basically can't walk away from without taking some sort of action to back away from this, from the reconsideration request, the BGC decision. So, full steam ahead, basically, on this one, at least until it starts to cost us serious money, and then we'll have to work out where we can get it from.
Great. Mary, did you have your hand up?
Yes, I did. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can. Please go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So I typed in the chat that I don't see why you just can't ask to meet with the board, because chances are the board are going to send reps from BGC and the NGPC anyway, maybe people who are on both committees at the same time. I just think it's important to make it very clear that this is not just a normal, we meet with you at every ICANN meeting type of meeting, but that we want a meeting with representatives of the board on this specific issue and do the DIDP simultaneously. That would be my suggestion.
Great. Thank you, Mary. Yeah, I think the board really needs to be made aware. I think a lot of times there's so many things happening and at such a quick pace that just not aware of all the details and the implications of all these decisions. And if they realize that, this decision could mean a good chunk of the multi-stakeholder model is going to walk away, because what's the point in participating if the decision is staff can do whatever it wants and overrule a community and still claim to be bottom-up, well, I mean, then we're just all being used here, and frankly, we do more harm than good by participating, and our moral obligation is to leave and to let the world know what a scam ICANN is. So I think if the board were to realize that they're on a precipice here. This is a moment where they need to make a decision to rein the staff back in, or they're going to lose a lot of credibility and a lot of why they claim they can be in the public interest, and will completely walk away and begin to attack them on a serious basis if this is the kinds of decisions that we can expect from the so-called accountability mechanisms. So I think we do need to meet with the board and explain to them why they need to wake up and pay attention to what this staff is doing and to what this decision means for the multi-stakeholder model down the road. I see Bill's got his hand up. Bill, why don't you go ahead? I don't hear anything, or at least I don't hear anything. I don't.
Yeah, this is Robin. This is Wolfgang Robin. It's difficult for me to speak because I'm sitting in a car and have to drive, but I can only support your basic approach that this is a question which is linked to the multi-stakeholder model, and it is unacceptable that the board and also the FADI speaks about the multi-stakeholder model and uses it as, you know, the big innovation in ICANN, and if it comes down to earth to very concrete actions, they ignore it. And I think this should be one of our main lines. We should position ourselves as a supporter of the multi-stakeholder model in reality and not only on paper or as lip service.
Yes, no, thank you. Thank you, Wolfgang. And I think that's really the piece that most of the community can rally behind, is that this decision stands, really does say that the GNSO Council is meaningless and can determine on its own accord policies and positions that it wants, and consider it to be implementation or consider it to be policy that it wants, and it pretty much can't be overruled by the council. And of course it's in violation of ICANN's bylaws, but when you've got a accountability mechanism that consists of the same legal team that wrote the policy is now deciding whether or not it's a legitimate policy, that's no accountability mechanism whatsoever. It's a joke. Need to bring some light to...
Can you hear me now?
Ah, Bill, I hear you. For the first time, yes. Please, floor.
Sorry. Had to mess with the settings. I just repeat what I said online a couple weeks ago. I would say we should have a meeting with the board. I would try to involve others who have similar concerns. It doesn't have to be just NCSG meeting with the board. You could bring in Jeff Newman or anybody else from the contracted folks. I think a broader cross-community discussion would be good, and then we can follow up with them to taste in our own meeting, regularly scheduled meeting with the board. I would do that kind of stuff before I would get into all these elaborate, legally defined bylaws-based kinds of processes. There are undoubtedly people on the board who are not well informed about this. They're all really busy. A lot of people take their eye off the ball. Before we go start getting nuclear, I think we should try to have a conversation.
Great. Thanks, Bill. Anyone else have a view on this? Okay, not hearing any. Is there anyone who wants to get in the queue?
I just wanted to back up what Bill said.
Please.
Yeah, this is David. Just wanted to back up what Bill said about, we don't need to go a lot of people on the board won't understand the seriousness of the situation. A lot of people on the board probably aren't reading reading the press about this. They probably haven't read, they're not following what goings on in the GNSO, so they don't know what, just how upset people are about it. First thing we've got to do is just make them aware that this is a very serious, this is being taken very seriously within the GNSO and elsewhere, and it's not an issue the board can ignore or just hope that, if they tough it out, it'll go away. We'll see how they respond after that, but I don't think a lot of them are aware, and that has got to be our first step.
This is Aubrey. Can I add something?
We do everything we can to make sure they do. That's it.
Thank you. Aubrey, please.
Yeah, sorry, and my apologies, David. I thought you had stopped, but it was just a long breath, and I apologize for jumping into it. I almost agree with those that say, we got to keep on talking, we got to keep following the process, even though we might have 2 to 4 million for it. But at this point, I also think we have to admit that we ain't going to win this one. And that therefore, perhaps the rumblings of possibly going appropriately timed. I'm not saying we should go nuclear today, but, at this point, you try to follow the processes. At this point, we've obviously followed the process pretty much to the dead end because we don't have 4 million. Sure, we can fight for that one and we can, have a bake sale and go out and wash cars, but by and large, it's not going to happen. I think in terms of thinking about how reasonably, I think as far as the board's concerned, any of them that are clever enough to understand and care enough to understand already do. But they just don't care. So I'm not sure that, sure, we should talk to them again. I mean, it's due process, and we have to follow through the process. But I think we also have to be ready, and I don't think there's a problem with the rumbling of this is a farce that we are legitimizing. And if it doesn't show soon that it isn't a farce, then we got to figure out what the next step is. Thanks.
Thank you. I mean, because that really is one of the things that I know I struggle with participating in ICANN when you constantly get these kinds of decisions back from staff and just slaps in the face, the hypocrisy. You just think, my God, we shouldn't be here. We're actually harming the future of the internet by allowing ICANN to claim that civil society participates, by allowing ICANN to claim that it's bottom up when in fact it isn't. So I mean, this is something that I struggle with all the time, and this could be the moment where it's time to go in the other direction and to recognize that ICANN is hopelessly broken and somebody needs to blow the whistle on it. I don't know. I mean, the board hasn't accepted this decision yet, but they've accepted every other decision that the board governance committee or ICANN staff has put in front of them to rubber stamp. So, it remains to be seen. I see Mary's got her hand up. Mary, please, go ahead.
Thanks, Robin. I guess I don't see why the two couldn't happen together. And I don't mean the sort of legal $4 million thing. I think that absolutely is probably not something we want to get into, and not unless it's a last resort. And even then, I think we need to think carefully. So we're talking about just now, right, between now and Durban, given that the board's meeting in whatever it is in June, next week or the week after, I think we do need to get in a request to meet with the board specifically about this. I think that either the way we do this or the invitations and the media and all the other stuff we write surrounding this request could echo the sort of rumblings that Aubrey is talking about. So there is some sort of impending threat in the atmosphere without actually making it explicit as, alongside the request. And I think additionally, one of the things to think about is on top of requesting a formal meeting of the board specifically on this issue, we might want to consider also talking to Bruce and Bill Graham. I mean, it's not going to get us anywhere, but I think it's one of those things where you want the community to see that we are trying everything in our power, following all the rules and trying to talk to as many board members as possible to try to understand the board's thinking. And in some ways, you're sort of also not trapping them, but, you know, pushing them into a position where they have to respond, either as individuals or as a committee or as the whole board. And the reason why I say Bruce and Bill is even though they're not representatives of the GNSO on the board, once they get on the board, they are the ones that were elected by the GNSO, and this is now a GNSO issue. So I would suggest meeting with the board, say it's about this, do the rumblings around it, and specifically request also that Bill and Bruce talk to us in Durban.
Thanks, Mary. Yeah, I think that sounds like the right approach. So I will.
Hey, Robin, if I can just get in, said, I guess we're saying we're just going to stop the process then. When I hear you talking about the death of the multi-stakeholder process, I'm with you. I mean, I'm close to walking anyhow because I'm looking at this. I'm looking at it as almost a farce after being in this thing for about a year. I think we need to talk, we need to do everything we can, but I also think we need to continue with the formal process, do the CEP, get the documents. We can do a two-track model, but unless we're going to go forward until we can no longer do so, we're not really giving ICON a chance to respond. They have these procedures here for us to use. We might as well use them.
Well, I guess I wasn't necessarily hearing anyone say we should stop the process, unless I misunderstood.
I may have misunderstood that. My apologies.
Okay. I see some people have their hands raised. Avery, please, go ahead.
I'm saying stop the process. I'm saying to follow the process all the way through, including the car wash and the bake sale to raise the money. I'm just saying understand that it's time to start the parallel process.
Oh, of course, Aubrey. I apologize, and I'll be there washing the cars with you. Thanks.
Thanks. David, you have your hand up?
Yep. I just wanted to agree with Avery that we should acknowledge we're not going to win this one in terms of are we going to win the trademark plus 50 issue. For whatever reason, we don't seem to care about it, but the staff care enough about it to really dig in and fight on it for who knows why. And they've doubled down and really said, well, we're willing to stake the a huge amount on it. And I think that's, but we can, at this stage, what we really want is for them to just go, that VGC motion was problematic, that there, includes terrible problems, and that the issue, ways in which we're going on to address this policy implementation model need to address it, and essentially just say, look, what you've told us is there is no meaningful reconsideration mechanism, because if you can always produce if you can always bring an external counsel to fabricate, reasons that were never brought up in the process and find something, you'll always be able to do it. We've just got to, we acknowledge we have lost the trademark plus 50 issue, but that's not, the issue is a lot bigger now, so...
Yeah, we don't want to lose the bottom of multi-stakeholder model in the process because they are two separate issues, but they both are at play here. And it is that second issue that many members of the rest of the community care deeply about and would be willing to get behind us on, even though, they don't care one way or the other about the specific trademark issue. It's the implications for the bottom-up model, if this decision stands, that I think many other counselors will be concerned with. And I think that if the council discussion on Thursday is focused at that level and you know, really doesn't go into the trademark plus 50 policy at all, because I think that that's not really the issue on the table at this point. It's the issue of is ICANN bottom up or is it staff dictated? That's council decision discussion can stay focused on that. I think there will be a good bit of support on the council to push this further. So I will request a meeting with the board. I'll send a letter, and I will also open that up to other members of the community. I think that's a good idea if we bring in other members of the community who are just as concerned about the impact of this decision on the multi-stakeholder model. Any other suggestions on that or other suggestions? And I think we continue to go forward as if the board will rubber stamp this decision and the discussions with the IDP and the CEP. I think we go forward on a little bit of a different time schedule, but we continue to expect to do them. Any other thoughts on that, this issue? Final thoughts? Okay, not hearing any. I guess we can go on. And thanks, Ed, for your contributions on this and research, all of the nitty-gritty details and policies and such. It's been extremely helpful. Okay, so let's move on to the next issue on the agenda, which is the GATT communique on new GTLDs. NCSG did file a response to the Beijing GATT communique on new GTLDs. I don't think we filed anything in the reply period. I suppose we could. I think it's probably still going on. So if folks have more things they want to say, I think there's still opportunity. I did get I was contacted by the European Commission, and they want to schedule a meeting with the members of the non-commercial stakeholder group, telephone meeting in the next few weeks to discuss the GATT communique and to discuss the NCSG response and see if we can find some common ground or some understanding of each other's positions. And so I said, of course, we'd be glad to talk with members of the European Commission on this communique, so I'm trying to get that scheduled right now, and I'll let folks know as soon as that gets scheduled. Is there anyone who is working on this issue or has been following this issue more closely or is filing a comment on this issue?
Yes, this is Wolfgang. May I report about a meeting we had last week with Tarek Kamel and the German GAC member about the issue. And it was interesting to watch the conversation between Tarek and Erika Mann, who was also there, and Michael Hickson. And representatives from the German government, not only from the Ministry of Economics, but also from the Foreign Ministry and other governmental officials about how to read the GATT communique from Beijing. And my conclusion from this debate was that there are certainly, you know, various approaches to how to read the GATT communique, but one approach is, which is preferred by the German government, to see it as a start for a discussion on issues. Just when you go through the list of the 200 or 300 proposed new GTLDs, then doesn't it mean that the GAC expects that it has the last word? So that means Hubert Schaeffler from the German GAC just explained that a lot of individual cases For instance, where a special interest of the German community is involved, like the GmbH or the Versicherungen or some others, just they want to make sure that the involved parties should have a consultation or a discussion on the issues to clarify things and not to stop it or not to show a red card. There are some other issues which are really more of concern for some governments with regard to the question of sovereignty, as Patagonia and Amazon and other cases. So the conclusion is all this should be handled case by case, very individual cases, so that the concerned parties, either governments or proposers or third parties involved, you know, should take this as an invitation for dialogue and to discuss it. And with the very rare exceptions of the some cases in the first part of the relevant paragraph of the GAC communique, so everything is open for discussion, and Tarek and Nigel, you said, okay, this is a good approach so that we move forward via a dialogue. That's why they have now produced the scorecard, so that we, it's stop and go forward, and, you know, having the next round of consultation. So probably this is the start of a new dynamics of interaction among the government and the board. So this was at least my conclusion from the discussion between the German members of the GAC and the German government and high officials from ICANN. Over to Robin. Hello?
Yes, thank you very much for that, Wolfgang. Yes, is there anyone else who wanted to add something to this issue? Mary has her hand raised. Please, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm adding anything. I guess my point is I'm not sure what else we can do now except continue to monitor and discuss. I also would ask members to read the scorecard or whatever it's called that the board or whichever committee on the board, maybe the new teacher, just came up with. And actually, I think it was approved by the board earlier this month to see which parts of the GAC advice were accepted, which parts were not. And the note, I suppose, that they're really at this point dealing only with the relatively easier and more concrete parts of the GAC advice. So what's coming, and which will be something that will consume a large part of the time in Durban, I think, the GAC's time, the board's time, the community's time, is the safeguards issue that we still haven't gotten any indication, not publicly anyway, from the board or the new GTLB program committee as to what they're thinking about that, which to many people is probably the more troubling piece.
Great. Thank you for that, Mary. I agree that this is going to, much of this is going to be coming to a head in Durban. So I think we should be thinking about that as we prepare for our Durban discussions and agendas, and thinking about this issue in particular and what we want to do in Durban on this issue.
Robin, may I raise another issue or to make a proposal for Durban? Shetner also explained, you know, why the GAC communique is so confusing, because they were unable to agree and negotiated until midnight. At the end, there was great confusion, and they hammered out the text, which already the other day, you know, was not seen so as a perfect text by the government or by a number of governments. So it would make sense that just we invite some selected GAC members for a consultation between NCC, or our stakeholder group, and the and government, just to ask for clarification that they explain us the process. So that means why just to take the GAC community as a holy paper, which is, you know, elsewhere on a mountain, so then down our communique and start a dialogue. I think to pull them into a dialogue would be a very interesting move and lead to something like a special channel for consultation between the non-commercial stakeholder groups and the government. So there is no need to do this dialogue via board members or council members or others. So we can do it directly, and we could start, you know, what you have just said, the just discussions with the European Commission, but we can invite also, you know, U.S. government or Australian government, which had a strong voice in this process, or somebody else. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello?
Bill, please.
I thought I had my hand up. Sorry.
See that, yeah.
Okay. As I think I mentioned before, I've been in contact with Heather and her vice chair, one of her vice chairs, about the possibility of somebody from the GAC coming over to meet with us during the NCUC part of the time, although we could do it during NCST as well. Doesn't matter. There seems to be some reluctance among, since this is a recorded conversation, I'm going to try to be unspecific there, but I've seen the back-and-forth communication, and there's some reluctance among certain people who don't appear to recognize NCSG's existence or think that it is a particularly important stakeholder grouping to meet with, but then there are others who do. So this creates a rather interesting dynamic. In any event, the conversation continues. If we would like to have at least a half hour with at least somebody from the GAC leadership, recognizing that they're going to come in with all the caveats that they don't speak for the GAC and blah, 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 but just to share concerns and hear what we have to say and take it back, we can pursue that. I think that there is at least one GAC vice chair who would be willing to come if you want that to happen.
Thanks, Bill. I definitely think that's worth doing. I know the GAC meets with other groups on a more regular basis, and the last meeting even met with the potential brand constituency. So, you know, it might be nice for them to meet with us at some point and hear our views on an issue. So I think it would be great, and it doesn't really matter to me which meeting. You know, we can work out the specific scheduling during the day on day and but I think we should meet with them.
Okay. Well, here's, I guess, the reason I'm asking in this context. Part of their issue is, of course, that they're having meetings at the same time, and so for them to come out of the meeting and, you know, somebody come over is an issue and so on. So the question becomes, when is it the most convenient for them? So if somebody from the GAC leadership can come over the afternoon, then it's NCSG. In the morning, NCUC, and talk people certainly could come over to our room at the time if we know what's happening. I mean, we could find some way to work it out. So I will try to circle back with them again. Just to know, if you could let me know, Robin, if there are particular time slots during the afternoon that are already locked up that would not work, I will point that out to them.
Okay, well, at this point, they could come talk to us between 1:30 and 3:30.
Okay. Well, I'll circle back. Thanks.
Okay, that would be great. Yeah, I think it would be great for them to come talk with us. And if they want to come in the afternoon, I'll happily, you know, work our schedule around what works for them. Anything else from... Not hearing any. Let's move on to the next, which is the update on the Accountability and Transparency Review Team. And we are lucky enough to have one of the members of the ATRT team on the call, Avery Doria. So, Avery, could you give us an update on where the ATRT team is, and then maybe point us in a direction for what we should be doing now and next to engage?
Sure, I can do that. This is Aubrey. I'm going to miss another meeting that's just about to start. But anyway, okay, first of all, before getting into what NPSG 10 or should be doing, I'd like to point out what NPSG should have already done, which is sent in comments to the ATRT, either answers to the questions or something. And I know something was being circulated. It doesn't seem to have come yet. So the period closed on the 9th. I'm sure if something showed up today, it would still get into the reading pile. But so unless it somehow just got lost, I don't see an NPSG, an NCUC, an MPOC, and anything contribution. Which I think is a pity for various reasons. One, it's what the people in the community send to the ATRT that sort of sets the foundation for a lot of the work we do. For any of us to bring in an idea that no one else has mentioned already can be difficult, because where is it coming from? Is it personal agenda, or is it the view that's coming out of the community? In any case, where we are is remembering that we pretty much have a drop-dead date of end of the year, the report has to be out. So basically the first part, starting to do the work, starting to organize, putting out the questionnaire. We're in at the very end of figuring out whether on any of the issues that have come up, either in the questions we read already, or in the reports that we've seen from APRT 1 and the report staff has given on what work has been done to meet those things, we have further questions that we think might require the use of an outside consultant. So we have a number of those that we're through at the moment, and I think today we finished sort of the polling part of the evaluation, and then we're going to look at how many things people thought it was important to get an outside evaluator for we have, and how much money there is in the budget, can we afford it, we want more budget to get more outside evaluations. But until we know what people thought, things that were being considered were, for example, doing some more case studies as had been done during the last one where they did 3 case studies. Another one was a specific case study on the policy development process, how it's working, how effective it is. One was on looking at the financial issues and seeing whether the audit wasn't sufficient and something else needed to be looked for that was less an accounting audit mechanism than how's the money being spent, not is it being done properly from an accounting perspective. I don't know if I mentioned this, was I don't have the list in front of me, so I'm recalling. One had to do with how whistleblowing works. There's going back to the One World Trust report, they had a requirement for the creation of such a program. ICANN has created a program that it says meets those specifications. We have a confidential list up where we have received some email question, a good one. We're going to look at whistleblowing. It needs to be done by professionals from outside, not us from inside. And then there's a couple other specific issues that, forgive me, have slipped my mind at the moment. I can certainly go back and find a list. And then also within the notion of case studies, there's like 20 different PDPs, working groups, various decisions that got, and two, that we're trying to prioritize and see if we were to do three, which would we do? So anyhow, we're pretty much done with that. What we have in front of us at the moment is a mountain of reading to do. And we've divided into several work streams that cut across the various subsections of the mandate question for the ATRT 2. So that's right. So we've cut into a couple work streams, and I don't want to get down into those details. And the next couple weeks, months are reading, discussing. We have we're filling up a very full schedule in Durban of visiting with each group, where we hope to sort of talk about the comments they sent, get clarifications, and in those cases where people didn't or couldn't send a comment, see what we can get in, you know, a brief conversation, because all there will be our, you know, whatever. So those, there'll be open meetings. So the Durban meeting is really the public listening meeting. You know, we're doing the reading, we're doing the listening, and then we come back from Durban, and then we get into the reading and writing. We have a meeting scheduled later in the year for Australia, where it's specifically coming up with the recommendations, drafting them, and starting to have the report, because, as I say, we have a delivery drop-dead date of December 31st. Open to questions.
Abby, may I ask you a question? You know, I'm interested also in the general political climate within the ATRT. You have for us a high-level political representatives from the government of the United States, the government of China, a high-level Russian representative. Is this a very constructive collaboration, or, you know, becomes the starting phase of the ATRT already politicized?
Oh, no, it's a very collegial group that's very much, you know, getting the work done and doing its best, with very much a declaration of we function as a group of equals, and we really do. So there has not been any overt or even underlying political issues. Obviously, each of us comes from where we come from, and we have perspectives on various things. But we've all very much been very serious about, in the role of the finish our reading and our listening, we're reading and listening. So obviously, you know, I have a warm spot in my heart for whistleblowers. Other people have a warm spot in their heart for financial issues. Other people have it for various, you know, other issues. But, you know, it is very collegial, and no, has not been politicized, I'd say, any more than life is normally politicized.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Avery. Bill, did you have your hand raised?
I do. Okay, Avery, I just finished scheduling with staff for ATRT your visit to NCUC on Constituency Day from 11 to 11:30. I pointed out that awareness of an engagement in this process will be unevenly distributed in the room. I think we will have some people there from African civil society and so on who have not been involved in ICANN before, as well as our usual suspects, or at least some of them. So I suggested to her that you know, anything that could be done in advance to try to provide us with more pointers as to, and I'm talking about Alice, sorry, Alice Jensen, more pointers as to what kind of concerns ATRT wants to explore and how we might usefully engage, since you're in the process, inside the process, and really know where that dialogue is. It would be helpful if you could help to provide a little bit in the way of a pointer as well. We, you know, can pass around some information to try to prep people, but I think a lot of people are going to come in cold and maybe not have read any of the material off the website, et cetera. And if we're going to have a productive conversation for a half hour, we're going to need to have a little bit of lifting the boats together to get there. Okay?
Yeah, well, we wrote a whole questionnaire on exactly what things we were looking for more information on. And so that, I would recommend, be something that people have read and thought about. I mean, those are the questions. There's not another set of questions.
Are there no other kinds of materials that we could point them to that, besides just talking about the questions, that would be useful as a basis for conversation?
Yeah, read the AOC itself. I mean,
okay.
You know, those are the basics. You know, and then there's more. You know, you can go and read the ATRT1 report. I recommend you stay away from the matrices that have the AOC1 report and the board's answers and the questions, because those things will drive your eyes and minds nuts and numb. But certainly reading, the questions, knowing what the AOC says, and then if you want to take the one step further, it's the ATRT1 report. I really can't suggest anything else.
All righty.
If you're really interested, you can read our mailing list. But we're not producing, I mean, we produce the questions, and we will produce a report at the end of the year, but, how much reporting can we do other than ask questions, read answers, clarify by talking to people, and then producing the snapshot?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But they should have read your, if, you know, you get answers in, they certainly should have read those.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you both. Anything else on ATRT? Okay, not hearing anything. Let's go on to the next item on our agenda, which is the review of the GNSO Council meeting agenda on Thursday. And we'll start by just looking at the motions that is on the agenda for the GNSO Council on Thursday. So let me just pull this up here. Thursday's GNSO Council meeting. The agenda. Okay, the first motion is item 4, to adopt the revised GNSO Council operating procedures. It says the GNSO Council has determined that the language concerning the deadline for the submission of the reports and motions in the GNSO operating procedures lacks clarity. The GNSO Council proposes a modification of the operating procedures that reports and motions should be submitted to the GNSO Council for inclusion on the agenda as soon as possible, but no later than 23 hours, 39 minutes coordinated universal time on the day 10 calendar days before the GNSO Council meeting. Okay. Do councilors want to speak to this, how they intend to vote or how they suggest vote, or any members have any comments or recommendations on this motion? The floor is open.
I think this was discussed. This was done.
Yes.
Was discussed, and I do not see any problem with this move.
Okay, so it sounds like you're saying you'd vote to approve this motion.
Larry, any other ideas about it?
Anybody want to speak to that? I see Maria has Farrell has typed in the chat to also approve the motion. Yeah, I don't think this is terribly controversial. I think it's just, you know. Okay. Any other thoughts on this one? Anyone disagree? All right. Sounds like we will be voting in favor of this motion. Let me go on the agenda to the next one. It says motion TBC. Okay. I guess we don't know quite what that is. Item 6, motion initiation of a policy development process on the translation and transliteration of contact information. And it looks like Ching Chow has brought this motion forward. Okay. Any thoughts on this motion, how folks are going to vote on Thursday on this motion? Maria's typed in the chat that they got to stay on this motion last month. Avery has her hand raised. Please, Avery, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just trying to understand, and I have paid very little attention to this one, so it's a study on commercial feasibility. I don't, a PDP that's a study on commercial feasibility. I guess I'm confused. Like that. I think the doing of the work is a good idea. I think that if there's going to be a who is, it needs to be multilingual, you know, and that has nothing to do with the policies. Now, there may be some policies in deciding between translation, transliteration, etc.
Okay, so it sounds like not a lot of support for this, as at least from what we can tell about it here. Any counselors have any views on this?
You know.
I'm sorry, Aubrey, are you speaking? I thought I heard you there for a second.
No, I wasn't speaking.
Okay.
Sorry.
Is somebody speaking?
You know, this is Wolfgang. To be frank, this motion was discussed already in the last council meeting. And for me, it was confusing because it was deferred again and waiting for some more input from the expert working group. And, you know, personally, I was reading the motion several times. I didn't get the full meaning of it. And so from my point of view, it's not dangerous. they can do it. But for me, it's part of this let's say, tactics or strategy which we see in ICANN around with for more than 10 years, just another study, another policy process, and another one, and another really move a step forward. So this is part of the circling around the issue, and, you know, who can have something against another study, but this will cost another money and will made by another group, which is probably not so informed about what has happened on all these issues. So I'm not happy with this motion, but if some constituencies think they want to have it, then I would not say, no, we fight for 5,000 profit.
Okay, thanks. So it sounds like you're not terribly excited about this motion. Aubrey has her hand raised. Please, go ahead.
I actually don't think I was speaking against voting for it. I was raising a question, and that question might now boil down to is, can someone suggest a friendly amendment? That eliminates the word feasibility. And obviously commercial will be one of them. It will be the predominant. But there may be other feasibility issues that need to be looked into. So that was really my issue with it, was that, as I say, needs to get done. And if we have to go through the gauntlet of yet another study, so be it. This is ICANN. We have to, you know, pay as many studies as we can.
Friendly amendment. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Does somebody want to speak?
Nobody wants this yet.
Pardon me, please, can you repeat that?
My question is in Wolfgang. My question is, we vote this yes. I think it's important for the Chinese people of this region. That's why Tian Chao is so active here.
Okay, so you're saying vote yes because it's important to the region, the Chinese region.
Okay, these are all the motions for Thursday. So that means the other point is probably we can move to the next item.
Okay, so the next item, let me see here. Okay, is the discussion of the NCSG's reconsideration request. And so I hope that our councillors will be engaged in this discussion on Thursday and again, bring up the importance of not accepting this particular rationale and this recommendation from the Board Governance Committee. And maybe the council can draft a letter. I mean, the council was supposed to send a letter after Beijing. You may recall we had a motion on the table on the circumvention of the GNSO by staff of policy matters, and we said we would table our motion because the council was going to draft a letter. We tabled our motion. I don't think that letter's been drafted. I haven't seen any discussion of it on the council list, so we may need to remind the other councillors that this was supposed to have been done, and you know, just continue to put more pressure to use council as a vehicle to pressure the board to not accept this decision. Any other thoughts on this? I know we've already covered the overall issue earlier in the call, but this is really just with respect to Thursday's council meeting discussion.
Yeah, my understanding is from this item on the GNSO council agenda, this is just for discussion, and what we discussed in the first point of our agenda today can be repeated here in the under this item, so that we express our great concern that there is a gap between, you know, the lip service for the multi-stakeholder model and reality if it comes to a number of issues, as we have mentioned earlier today. The Bismarck Clearinghouse is just one of them, where, you know, the reality moves away from the promised multi-stakeholder bottom-up open H17 process.
Right. No, I think that's exactly right. And I know in the chat, Maria has asked if it should be brought up in Thursday's call, that we'll be writing to the board and asking to talk with the board, and that other members of the community are invited to participate in that discussion, assuming the board is willing to talk with us about it. So I think that's a good idea, and you know, just really trying to engage with the other members of the community who care about the principle at stake, which is the protection of the bottom up community led multi stakeholder process. Okay. Anything else on this one? Can we go on to the next agenda item for discussion on Thursday? Okay, which is the forthcoming reviews of the GNSO and the GNSO Council. Okay, so it looks like the Council will hear the intended course of action and provide input for a draft call for volunteers into a non-PDP working group on that issue. That'll be good to hear what the staff has planned for the GNSO review. Anything on this issue? Okay, the next item on the agenda is update and discussion on the report on the user experience implications of active variant TLDs and IDN letter to the board. Oh, boy. So it looks like there's a draft letter that from the council on user experience implications. So the council will be discussing any additional action to be taken according to the agenda, and then an update on letter to the board. Anything on this issue? Okay, Maria says in the chat that this is mostly Ching. Oh, did we lose me? Did we lose me? Can you hear me? Hear a telephone line beeping.
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear the telephone line beeping too, but I could certainly hear.
Okay. I thought I'd been disconnected there for a second. Okay, but I guess we've got it fixed now. I don't hear the beeping anymore. Okay. So the next item on the Thursday's agenda is planning for Durban. So I think we need to start thinking about and feeding into council and also back to the various other parts of the organization, the discussion topics that we'd like to bring to the table at the different meetings in Durban, whether it's the council meeting and our meeting with the board and our meeting with at large, and discussion items that we'd like to propose for the public forum. So that's on the agenda for Thursday. Are there any topics of discussion that members would like counselors to bring back to the meeting on Thursday and would like to see some discussion of in Durban?
Probably Bill can give us an update about the NCUC event in cooperation with the summer school or winter school on Friday afternoon, and how we can involve other ICANN constituencies in this. Bill, can you give us an update?
I could, but it's a stakeholder group meeting. So,
okay.
That's fine, because it's a good idea, because I think NPOC is also having an event, and it would be great, you know, for both groups to hear what the other is doing. So why not?
Okay, that's fine. Yes, I mean, I did understand that NPOC was doing a event, and that was part of why it didn't really make sense for NCUC to be trying to do a policy conference, a full policy conference on Friday, although, I mean, also would have been pretty difficult since there was, it turned out that we would have had to do a budgetary request and so on, which we weren't aware of. Well, anyway, okay, well, as the NCUC people here at least will know, and maybe others, there is an African summer school on internet governance that's being organized by NEPAD, the African Intergovernmental Group, and the Association for Progressive Communication that runs on Wednesday through Friday before the ICANN meeting. And in that context, I've been working with APC people around this. And so we, NCUC, is going to do a workshop on Friday afternoon at the end of the 3 days, a kind of little type event, and also a discussion of, you know, what our challenges and so on have been representing civil society over the years in the GNSO. Then we will have a reception afterwards, which we're sponsoring. The workshop part will also be, in some ways, linked, I guess, at least in content, to a joint thing, which actually we should talk about at a stakeholder group level, which is the workshop that I proposed for the IGF meeting in Bali. And yes, I'm very glad you prompted me now. So I proposed a workshop for Bali that would be a joint thing between NCSG and NCUC and NPOC in the fast-track budgetary process. ICANN approved it and gave each of the three groups a budgetary allotment to be able to participate in that workshop if the IGF MAG approved it. The IGF MAG has approved it. The workshop will go forward. And we need to know, since Alan was going to be the NPOC person and presumably will not be now, we need to know who NPOC intends to have as a speaker on that workshop so that we can begin to coordinate. It would be Robin as NCSG chair, me as NCUC chair, and whomever NPOC wants to send, and then some other people, and I have, Alan has all the email and all that about this. I can recirculate it, including, the description of the workshop is also on the IGF website. So anyway, I will stop there. It'd be good to hear from NPOC people, A, what they're doing in Durban, and B, if they have any clues about who might be coming to Bali, that'd be helpful.
Great. Thank you very much, Bill. So is there an NPOC member on the call who can speak to, can tell us a little bit about the event or workshop that NPOC is serving?
Can you hear me? It's Klaus.
Yeah, Klaus. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Klaus.
Can you hear me?
Hi.
Hi. Just a very quick update on the planned NPOC Durban events. As you know, we had planned for the Friday or Saturday a full day NPOC event. But as it happened, we've been encouraged and have decided to join forces with the ice hockey event going on Friday and Saturday. So we will be We will be participating in these events, and in addition to that one, we have a short event or a 90-minute event on the Wednesday. We will move our full one-day event as it looks like, and this is all just only 90% decided, not fully decided, to the our full-day event to Buenos Aires. And with regard, Bill, to the event in Bali, as Sintra just typed in, we will get to you when the new executive place, and we need to discuss this internally in Durban, but you will know in Durban who will be speaking at Bali, and we are fully committed to that event, other movements and things around the iInform initiative and the events planned there for the next few months and next year. Thank you very much.
Can I follow up, please? Klaus, actually, I have a deadline from the IGF MAG to finalize the workshop and the lineup of speakers, and that is the 10th of July, which is before the ICANN meeting in Durban. So I really need the name as soon as you guys can sort your stuff out, because the Thai hosts, the Indonesian hosts want to print up a program, I guess, and all that kind of thing. So we're being told we have to get this in early. The other thing, can I ask you, Klaus, you say that you are doing a workshop on Wednesday.
Thank you for letting me know.
Okay. Can I
yes.
Can I continue? You say that you're doing a workshop on Wednesday during the ICANN program. Is that correct? Klaus, can you hear me?
No, it's not a workshop. It's a 90-minute event where...
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Hello. It is a It's not
okay.
A workshop. It's a 90-minute event where we will...
Okay, I don't know about anybody else. I just keep hearing 90-minute event. I was just curious because we've proposed
a
workshop.
It's a workshop. It's just a 90-minute event.
Right, I've heard that. I was wondering, because the ICANN staff has not given us any reply about our request for a time slot, so I was just curious. Thank you.
I tell you that we also are having problems with that time slot. And it has not been confirmed with ICANN staff.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Sintra, did you want the floor?
Yes, please. May I?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Just a follow-up on what Klaus has said, we have two sessions in mind, apart from the stakeholder day session. One is dealing with iInform, and the other one with the role of DNS in Africa. And we're really trying to twin the latter one with ISOC activities so that we're sure about the audience that we're reaching. Bill, with regard to your request, we certainly will get you that name before your deadline, but at this point, we can't really commit to any person in particular. Did you have any other questions, Bill?
No, that's fine. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Anyone else get in the queue on this? Preparations for Durban? Okay, not hearing any. That's the GNSO Council agenda as it currently stands. So do we have our counselors all prepared to participate Thursday, or have they found a proxy? I saw a note from and she wouldn't be able to participate. Presumably she's finding a proxy. Anyone else? Everyone else is going to be on the call Thursday?
This is Wolfgang. I will be on the call, and I could also take a proxy if needed.
Great. I think you've just got yourself Wendy's proxy. Be careful.
I have to consult her with the Swiss group whether she voted for yes or not, but I think we have to clear this.
Yes. Okay, I see on the chat and Maria plan to be on Thursday's council call. David, what about you? Are you on board for Thursday's council call? Or?
Yep, I should be on board for Thursday.
Great. Okay. Alrighty, thank you all. Enjoy, I guess.
What? What's there to enjoy?
Okay. Let me go back to the agenda here and see what's up next. Open comment periods and other statements. Okay, let me go over to the comment periods. I can't public comment periods. See what's open. I see Aubrey's got her hand up. Aubrey, why don't you take the floor while I bring up the open comment periods here? Aubrey, are you there?
Sorry, I was still muted. I started talking already. I was going to be the alternate chair of the policy committee. I think we're doing a horrid job. We're trying to get organized at it, but we're just not getting enough written. I know that this week I tried to write one on the registry agreement, but by the way, I'm really grateful for the people that have done them, but we're still, I write one for the registry agreement. I found the only thing I could say was, gee, I agree with VeriSign on this, 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 and this. And then reading the others, I just wondered, yes, this is another version of the new regime in ICANN that has unilateral right to change. And so, yes, we could discuss that issue again in this context. I don't know that there's value for us in just doing that. In the end, when I had written two paragraphs that said, yep, we agree with the registries and we agree mostly with VeriSign because VeriSign did most of the writing, I just didn't see a point to continue, so I didn't put one out for draft.
You know, thank you. Thanks a lot for getting us started on that, too. And I'm actually inclined to think that we should go ahead and should file the comment that says where we have some agreement. I think it's important to just be on the record as this is being the staff unilateral problem is being an issue all throughout these different parts of ICANN right now. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a big, long statement, and it doesn't, but simply, you know, being on the record and stating that it's a problem and here's another example of it, I think it's important just for demonstrating, creating a record. So I would be inclined to go ahead and do it, even if it's a short statement that doesn't say much else. But I'd be very curious to hear what others think, and maybe there are other things that other people would like the statement to include. Anyone?
Mary's asking on the chat, do we have anything to say about the biz and info RA renewals? I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't have
okay.
any.
Okay, on this one. All right. We keep stepping on each other's pauses. I can take the two paragraphs I've written, make them a little. I can turn that into a paragraph and put it out if the group and the PC committee wants to approve it. So sure. As I say, it's mostly supporting statements that were written by VeriSign, but I guess there's nothing wrong with us doing that. So, sure, I'll put them out, and I'll see if I can't find just some other statement to mention in there so it doesn't look like a complete, VeriSign worship sort of note.
Well, you know what big fans we are. Okay, I don't see any other.
I get invited to a party.
They throw the best parties. That's pretty clear. After 10 years, I actually went to one. Had to crash it, but, you know. Okay, are there any other of these open comments that folks want to comment on, the registry agreement, the operating plan and budget, who is information status policy, proposed renewal.info.biz.
And we missed putting in anything on the community travel support, but as Mary's indicating, could still say something during the reply period if we wanted to. I don't know. What do those of you that travel on community travel want to say? I understand that people are pretty happy with it, so.
Well, actually.
And Mary, she also put in.
It could move. I think that we aren't able to bring as many of our leadership as we need to. You know, we only have, for example, community travel support only provides 3 travel slots for executive committee, but we have 5 voting members of the executive committee. So I think there are places where it could be improved, and maybe this is the place to make those suggestions. I see Bill has his hand raised. Yes, Bill, please go ahead.
I was just wondering, I don't really, because I've been unfortunately a little bit preoccupied with the organizational side of NCUC and have not been able to follow the NCST policy committee activities very much. I'm not on the policy committee, but I'm subscribed to the list. So I don't have much of a sense for what the current state of dialogue and focus of activity is there, and if anybody could kind of talk a little bit about where that committee is at. It's since the idea, I guess, we had sort of agreed on was that policy work was going to be, a lot of policy work would go through there in the first instance. I'm a little unplugged. The other question I wanted to ask was, by the way, there was this proposal from the DC about how we're going to reorganizing the time on the weekend and whether I'm trying to remember the details, but I think part of the point was that we had talked about moving the policy committee meeting to the weekend. I don't know if there's been any follow-up on that, Robin?
Yeah, I'll speak to that. I have sent a couple of requests to ICANN asking about that exact issue, if any of that time has been freed up on the weekend so we could move our policy committee to, I guess it would be Sunday instead of Monday morning, and the responses that I've gotten back yet is there isn't a schedule yet. So either they don't know or they know, or they just haven't told us yet. But I will continue to try to get a more concrete schedule. And if anyone else who has access to the GNSO schedule activities could share that with me, that would greatly help to schedule a lot of these meetings. As for your previous point about the state of the policy committee, I think Aubrey had her hand up and is the alternate chair of the policy committee. Maybe she can get us started on that question. Aubrey?
I'm sorry, but before you go, Aubrey, could I just get clarification on? Thank you very much. So, and then we'll go to the policy committee. Robin, on the scheduling, I mean, it's not really up to ICANN when we hold our policy committee meeting necessarily, unless it's except for the fact that the counselors can't be in two places at once. But has there been, have you been in contact with the CSG coordinating on this point, or with anybody in GNSO, or no? I mean, are you just talking to ICANN staff? I'm not clear on what's happening there.
I'm talking to Glenn about it, so I don't. I presume that when they get the GNSO schedule worked out for the weekend or for the week, they'll let us know. And you're right that, you know, we could hold our policy committee meeting anytime we want. We don't necessarily need to wait for the GNSO schedule. But to the extent that we can schedule it such that they don't take place at the same time, I would definitely prefer to do that. So I
does CSG formally propose this to the GNSO?
Pardon me?
Has CSG formally proposed this scheduling to the GNSO so that it's on staff's agenda?
I think so. I'll reach out to the CSG again and see if maybe they've pushed on this or if they're going ahead and scheduling some of their meetings on the weekend, you know, just so we can try to nail this down a little bit.
Okay. I would really like it if we could do it on the weekend. All right, so, Aubrey, thank you for waiting.
No problem. Okay, you say you're on that mailing list, and then you ask what activity and discussions have there been. As somebody on that mailing list, you know full well there haven't been any, or certainly not many. So, and as I admitted before, when we talked about statement preparation, we hadn't managed to organize ourselves in any sort of way to make sure that as soon as a statement was announced, we had somebody who had volunteered to write, we had someone who had volunteered to edit, and we followed through on a schedule producing written material 2 weeks after that so that there was a week for it to be reviewed and then sent it as a comment. I have seen other stakeholder groups that actually managed to do this. They're the ones that have people that are probably paid but may not be also. But we certainly haven't managed to do it. So as you know, we're still very much haphazard. We track some stuff. I tried putting in lists and having empty boxes for people to put in names, but people didn't put in names. And so, as you well know, we're nowhere. Thank you.
Sorry, Aubrey. I know what's on the list, although I don't focus on it intensely. I just thought maybe there was some other discussions among smaller groups or coordination among counselors or whatever. Okay.
No, and it's that you brought it up because we don't see a lot of discussion between counselors. It would be great if the counselors were discussing things on the policy committee list, but by and large they don't. There's little, you know, formal or even informal communication on the issues that I see
on that list. So, yeah, if that were happening there, it would be great, but it's not. But thanks for bringing it up. I'm just saying you kind of see what there is, and there isn't much.
Yeah, and I think in addition to sort of the lack of general discussion and engagement, we've got a shortage of drafters for comments, people who are willing to pick up the drafting pen and say, I will undertake the first draft of this, that, or the other. I mean, because I can tell you, I can come up with a schedule by which we need to have comment A, B, and C in, and it will go nowhere until we get someone to volunteer to actually draft a comment. So I think that, you know, we really need, let me use this as an opportunity to encourage members and especially our counselors to be leaders on policy development and undertake some of the drafting responsibilities to take us to the next step on in developing some of these policies that we'd like to see go forward at ICANN. I see some people have their hands up. Cintra, please, go ahead.
Thank you, Robin. At this point is a bit unrelated to the policy, but it does feed into it. MPOC, to this point, is still not on equal footing as a constituency in the NCSG, and I really appeal to our GNSO counselors to kind of lobby for us to have a NOMCOM representative. You know, the last thing I've heard was that the board had considered this change to be part of the overall GNSO amendments, but it's something that we will continue trying to lobby with them, simply because it does affect our participation, it does affect our output. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Cintra. I'm glad you brought up that point, because you're absolutely right that non-commercial users are underrepresented on a nominating committee, and we have been for some time, and as NCSG grows, our underrepresentation becomes even more apparent and underlined. So I think that we do need to press for more non-commercial representation on the nominating committee. I mean, the business community gets one for small and one for large business, and then, you know, there's the IP and the ISP. So it's incredibly imbalanced, and imbalanced inputs obviously leads to imbalanced outputs. So to the extent that we can press the nominating committee to have more non-commercial representation, and that means most likely giving NPOC a representative of their own in the nominating committee, or if they want to do it such that it's NCSG that has two, I don't know. I don't care. But the point is we need more non-commercial representation on the nominating committee. Anyone else have anything to say on this point?
Yeah, this is Wolfgang again. You know, I was disconnected for several times. So, but you know, if it comes to the NOMCOM, so my recommendation would be indeed to write a letter both to the board and to the chair of the NOMCOM, as to Fadi and to the chair of the NOMCOM, because this needs a bylaw change. And the bylaw changes can be done either in Durban or in Buenos Aires on the annual meeting. So, but it has to be flagged as soon as possible, and it's unacceptable that NPOC and NCUC share one, you know.
Oh, you're cutting out there. I've lost you.
I lost them too.
Oh, we lost you, Wolf.
I was going to add something to what he said, so I can prattle on while he's waiting to come back. I think it's an excellent idea. In fact, as people might have noticed, there was even some discussion on the NCUC discussion list about getting involved and trying to help with this. I think we need to come up with
you know, I think Wolfgang was right doing a letter, but perhaps we should actually, okay, Wolfgang, you're back. I'll let you proceed. I was filling the space.
Okay, thank you very much. My simple proposal is to write a letter signed by the stakeholder group and the two chairs of the constituencies calling for the special, special seat, not for a special seat, just for the regular seat. Because this was overseen when NPOC got the status as a constituency.
Great, thank you very much. Okay, I see Bill has his...
Can I continue now?
My
hand's still off. Okay, thanks. So, yeah, so I was supporting what Wolfgang was suggesting in terms of the letter. I wanted to add two elements to it. One is I think we should actually look at the bylaws and recommend the wording of the change. And it's going to be a minimal, so we should include in that letter, change this to that. And so that, you know, lobbying 101, if it's easy for them to write, perhaps they'll write it. The other thing I think we should do, and while I think NCSG should take the lead on this, NCSG should also write a letter. I think once we sent the letter, we should ask the GNSO, and we should put a motion into the GNSO asking them to endorse the action that we took on behalf of MPOC. So I don't think we should gate it on getting GNSO support, but I think we should request it.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yes, Bill, please, give the floor.
No, actually, Avery has said pretty much everything. We did talk about this on NCUC. NCUC people did say that they all supported the idea of asking for another slot. Rudy Vaznik, who's involved on both sides, wrote to me and said he would be coordinating back and forth between MPOC and the point and NCSG. And I would definitely argue that, in fact, I believe there's a slot for academia right now on the NOMCOM that is not occupied. And so, and I'm not sure how they would ever properly allocate that. So there, if that's the case, then there's already something concrete that could be pointed to. Although, frankly, I'd rather add an academic slot plus an NPOC slot, given the number of business interests that are represented.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should push for parity of representation with business. However many slots CSG has, that's how many NCSG should have. That would be my proposal. Anyone else have anything on this?
Yeah, I want to raise another issue which is not directly connected to the previous issues. You know, from the discussions we had in Berlin last week with Tarek, the issue of internationalization becomes bigger and bigger for ICANN. It's not only the three offices they open now next to Los Angeles, also in Istanbul and Singapore. It's also the so-called engagement offices. They started with Beijing, and they consider now to do it in Montevideo, probably one in Brazil, another one in Geneva, with clear targets. For instance, the Buffer Bureau should have engagement with the European Commission in Geneva. They should have engagement with the UN institutions. So, and my question is, if they spread this this engagement offices around the globe, you know, these offices have to get a clear mandate, and they should be used also to do outreach to non-commercial groups, so not only to governments or to business people, also to non-commercial groups, so that they, you know, if they write the tasks or the mandate for these engagement offices, there should be a paragraph involved which say, you know, part of their work is to do outreach and to consult, you know, with the non-commercial stakeholder group, so that we can use them as a hub to do outreach and, you know, to help to get more contacts to people within this region.
Great. So we would draft a letter to ICANN?
Yeah, and we should welcome this internationalization strategy and the opening, because Tarek told me they have a list now with about 25 countries where they will possibly, you know, open engagement offices within the next 5 years.
Right. Well, you know, it sounds like you've kind of got this thought through. So can I ask you if you would be willing to take the first stab at drafting this letter that we could send to them?
Yeah, I'm happy to do this. Thank you.
Thank you. No, I'm really glad you're...
This is Klaus. This is Klaus. I think it's an absolutely great idea, and I will also help when, if no problem, Wolfgang, I can work with you if you like.
Thank you. But we shouldn't do it in German. We should do it in English. But Tarek speaks wonderful German. He has studied in Munich.
All right. Was there anything else on this one?
Great idea.
Okay. And then, let's see, as I'm looking at the agenda, any of the open working groups, do we have anyone who's on the who is working group on the call right now? And can give us some kind of an update on what's happening on in the who is working group. Well, I suppose there are several of them.
Is this the thick who is working group?
I don't know which. There are several.
There is the thick who is working group, which happens to actually been meeting right at this point. So I'm hoping that the regular participants there, like Amr and Roy, especially Roy, are actually at that meeting instead of here. They're just about in the thick one. They're just about to put in a put out the initial report. It's definitely something that we should work on. And of course, in this case, we can't count on Roy and Amr to do the work. It's the rest of us that have to do it. I'm in the group, but I've just been a watcher. Roy and Amr have done a great job at getting the point of view expressed, but they're obviously a minority voice, so we will need to add our voice to what they've gotten in there. But in general, I think it's a good initial, you know, report, a lot of stuff to comment on and discuss. It's an opportunity we really should take advantage of. Thanks.
Great, thank you. No, it sounds like we should take advantage of this opportunity. Do we have, do you know what kind of time frame we're on for that?
It hasn't been released yet. I think they're trying to make the deadline for the meeting, but please put a question mark around what I'm saying. But I think they're trying to make the deadline for the meeting so they'd have one of those where the comment period has ended, but it won't close until after. But those are so easy to miss, even though they're 6 weeks long.
Okay.
I'll get you the date when I've got it, but we're not there yet.
Okay.
But it's coming.
Okay. Other working groups, the INGO, NGO, the special privileges for the Cross and the Olympic Committee and the other international organizations, anyone want to update us on that working group and what's happening there? And Mary's got her hand raised. Please, Mary, go ahead.
Actually, I was thinking that Avi would be better than I would be because she's been following it a little more closely recently. But essentially where the group is now is in the final throes of trying to get out a preliminary report for community cleanse. And when the report is out, and Robin, I think you've been following this, so you know some of this, I think it's very important for non-commercial members to weigh in on the report. both in their individual capacities as well as a membership group. So there's a meeting tomorrow, a call tomorrow, and I think we're just going to try and get that out soon so that comments can start coming in and that we can start finalizing recommendations, keeping in mind the Durban meeting and all the external deadlines around this project.
Great, thank you. So just so I can understand, the member comments, should they go to members of the NCSG who are in this working group, or do they go directly to the working group? Just so we can get that out there.
I think you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not mixing up working groups, but I think it's actually going to go out in a formal public comment period. So like the ATRT, I mean, people can communicate directly with the working group. I think the preference would be publicly document all comments into the public comment forum, which will then be consolidated and reviewed by the working group.
Okay, great. Thanks. Avery, you had your hand up?
Yeah. Just to back up what Mary said, I could give the exact same talk that I gave last time on the last one, which is, you know, the people in the group got as far as they could in terms of the perspectives that have been expressed in the NCSG discuss in terms of finding balances and whatever while taking into account the various. But, again, there's minorities. It's really quite complicated. I think it's a good initial report that contains a lot of good stuff for us to need to comment on. Thanks.
Thank you. And thanks to you and to Mary for engaging in this working group. We will be on the lookout for that report and try to get some comments in on it. Anyone else want to get in the queue on this? Do I hear someone? Somebody trying to speak?
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Yes, go ahead. Okay, is somebody trying to get in the queue? I guess not. All right, are there any other open working groups that people would like to report on or ask questions about? Okay, not hearing any. And as I look at the time, we've gone 6 minutes over, and really the only thing left on the agenda was preview for Durban. And I would just say for that to start compiling the discussion topics that you would like to discuss with the board and discuss with at large and discuss with amongst ourselves and for discussion items for the public forum. Start compiling those lists and thinking about particularly the GAC communique and the NCSG's reconsideration request and as being big issues in Durban. And we will have a Durban planning meeting. I think it's July 2nd. So folks who will be in Durban, I would like to encourage you to participate in that call. Just do a quick review and try to get ourselves on the same page and prepared going into Durban. Anyone else have anything to add? Any other business?
Oh.
We've gone through the agenda, and we're 7 minutes over.
Oh, thank you very much. Goodbye.
Thank you. And I guess we can call this meeting to a close, and thank you all for participating, and we will continue our discussion on the email list. Thanks again.